Good morning. What a colorful day this is. These really are the sweet June days, aren't they? The mornings have been bright and green, except for this morning. The evenings long and cool. For many of us, this is the time of change, beginnings and endings, packing and traveling. That's what Preston and I were doing a year ago. Believe it or not, it's already been 1 year since we loaded our old cat and some favorite plants into our car and drove here from Oakland, California. It's been a year of learning your names and hearing your stories, of attending your weddings and baby dedications, of sitting beside your loved ones as they pass gently from this life. It has been a full year. Sometimes when people find out that we came here from the Bay Area, they seem quite surprised. You moved all the way out here? Aren't there any churches in California? Well, yeah, there are lots of churches in California. It's just that out of the dozens of congregations that we considered, the Williamsburg Unitarian Universalists were the only ones who expressed an explicit mission to serve. To serve one another, to serve your neighbors, your faith, and the world. We tell them, we came to Williamsburg because the UU congregation here seemed to take very seriously this idea of greater spiritual depth. And so we chose Williamsburg. We chose to serve you as you serve to work and serve with others. Specifically as you work to encourage spiritual growth, deepening the experiences of wholeness. This is the work of the soul. To serve others is indeed a high and worthy purpose. Now, service is an idea that shows up in all facets of life, from the most mundane to the most sacred. Some of you know that my first professional job was in the human resources area. I worked in the personnel department of a sheetrock manufacturing plant, U.S. Gypsum. And one of my duties was to manage their service awards program. After 5 years of service to the company, you got a pocket knife. It was nice. It had, you know, the USG logo on it. After 10 years, you got a bigger knife. This was a really big deer hunting community, so they liked this. After 15 years, you got a TV, and so on and so forth. In the commercial world, service is part of an economic exchange. I provide a service, and my employer compensates me with cash and benefits. Even in the nonprofit world, volunteer service still includes an element of exchange. I volunteer my time and talents to a local nonprofit, and in return, they acknowledge me as a good citizen, and I can affirm myself as a good person. Lots of churches operate like civic organizations, and their members treat the work of the church basically the same as volunteering in one of those places. It's a duty. It's an obligation. It's what good people do. They volunteer at church. Some people volunteer because they feel like they should do their fair share, as if this was a cooperative that says, you volunteer your time and your skills, and in return, the cooperative will provide spiritual benefits and Sunday worship services. These ways of thinking about volunteering keeps the work of the soul separate from the work of the church. Faith development and worship to feed my soul, social action and committee work to do my fair share. When I first joined the Unitarian Church about 15 years ago, this is exactly how I thought. To me, the work of the church was apart from rather than a part of the work of the soul. As soon as I walked in through those doors in the Baltimore church, someone immediately recruited me. They had a volunteer coordinator just as energetic as Ruth. They recruited me not only to serve on a committee, but to actually chair the social justice committee. I had never done this kind of work before. I had never been inside a UU church before. I had no idea how to translate my day job skills to organizing a committee of church volunteers. At work, I knew what to do with difficult people. But at church, I was perplexed. Now, at that time, I was about 25, and I had just started to open my eyes to this whole world of social justice and community organizing. Up to that point, I was just wrapped up in that, you know, post-college world of making money and working for the weekend. And so I saw this as a chance for me to give my time in exchange for learning some very basic skills. And I did learn a lot. But most of the time, I felt anxious and totally inept. And I dreaded every committee meeting. And even though people seemed to respond well and appreciate my work, I felt depleted and defeated. When my term ended, I stayed as far away from committee work as I could. Instead, I attended worship services. I went to theology class. I did small groups and circle dinners. Hey, I had done my part. I paid my dues by chairing that committee, and now I could turn to feeding my soul. There was just one thing that kept bothering me. This coffee mug. Our congregation had switched from disposable paper and styrofoam cups to individual mugs. And one day we had a mug decorating party after the service. And I wrote on here what was then my favorite quote, often attributed to Winston Churchill, but we don't think he actually said this. "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." Like many young adults, I was trying to figure out the best way to live my life. And so I ended up reading a lot of similar ideas like this. Like, "The only ones among you who will truly be happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." Albert Schweitzer. And its corollary, "One of the worst human sufferings is not finding a way to give of your heart and your being." Jack Kornfield, the Buddhist psychotherapist. So how was I going to square my conviction, written on this cup, that service does lead to spiritual death, and this neat accounting system that I had worked out for myself that puts church work on one side of the ledger and soul work on the other side of the ledger? Well, I never did come to a resolution while I was a member of that church. But years later, many, many, many years later, my congregation in California showed me that the work of the church can be the work of the soul. It was there that I first saw a chalice lighting before a committee meeting. And now I have come to believe that, in fact, the work of the church must be the work of the soul. Otherwise, it becomes a chore, an obligation. Otherwise, it becomes depleting and defeating to people. Otherwise, people come to dread committee meetings. And then the community fails to live out its essential mission. The work of the church must be a part of the work of the soul and not apart from it. Nice sounding idea, huh? But seriously, how does a person sit in a stewardship committee meeting and deepen some experience of the holy? Come on now. How can setting up tables and chairs for the annual auction lead me to spiritual growth? Well, the way to begin to make committee work into soul work is by insisting that it be so. Now, I know this sounds really simple and maybe way too simple. And I know that insisting doesn't always make it so. But in the domain of WUU, we actually do have the power to declare who we are, what is most important to us, and how we're going to do the work. There is no external voice of authority telling us how to run this church. Accordingly, we shape and reshape the work of the church until it serves that most noble aspiration of encouraging spiritual depth. And we know what can happen when people experience more and more wholeness in their lives. We've seen it either personally or we've seen it in the people around us. Relationships are mended. Addictions are overcome. Hope is restored. Now, if we get too bogged down in the details of the work and forget that the quality of relationship is more important than product, output, and results, if we don't keep reminding ourselves that the core reason for being a religious community in the first place is deeper spiritual development, then we will fall back on the pattern of service as exchange, where we will keep a neat accounting of what we give and what we get. This is what happens in the world of commerce. Employees who feel drained and used up look for all kinds of different ways to make up that lack. And this happens in the world of church. Volunteers become bored. They burn out. They feel unappreciated. They become frustrated at the lack of progress. Let me make this point a little more concrete. Imagine that you're sitting in a UU theology class, or a book group, or even in worship services, and you have one of those aha moments where you connect to a deep spiritual truth, like the essential unity of all beings. And you are so excited that you have caught on to this idea, and you want to take that out into the world, and you want to say to that person in line in front of you at the Food Lion, hey, you and me, we are one. But you can't do that. Someone will call the cops. And you can't do that in your workplace either, because they will not receive comments like that. But you know what? You can do that here. Here, you can even say, love me. You can do it here because this place is like one big spiritual laboratory. So, if you want to practice deep listening, the communications cluster might be a good place to try that out. If you want to practice non-attachment of rising emotions, a board meeting would be a great place. Because in this place, we know that the most important time is right now. The most important person is the person sitting next to you. And the most important thing you can do is to serve that person. What all of this reflects is something about the nature of service inside a church. Within a religious community, the nature of service is different, it is special, and we give it a word whose meaning sets it apart And that word is ministry. The word ministry is derived from a very, very old word meaning to serve. When you give committee work the shape of soul work, you are stepping into ministry. You are stepping into a quality of relating between and among human beings that beckons forth hidden possibilities. I can't say it any better than in this morning's reading by Reverend McKeeman. Ministry is speaking and living the highest we know, and living with the knowledge that it is never as deep or as wide or as high as we wish. Whenever there is a meeting that summons us to our better selves, whenever our fragments are united, our wounds begin healing, there is ministry. Within a religious community, service takes on a more noble purpose and leaves behind the conventional notions of duty, obligation, and exchange. It moves us to the realm of love. I recently witnessed this kind of ministry when I attended what I thought would be just a pretty routine committee meeting. There were 8 or 9 of us in a small circle sitting around the flame of a chalice. The sun was going down, and for some reason we had forgotten to turn on the lights. No one seemed to mind, so we sat in the waning light. We had business to take care of, but it would wait until we took care of something more important than mere business. One of our members had some difficult things to say about how working on this committee made her feel. She spoke, we listened, others spoke. Sounds like a typical meeting, right? No, it wasn't. The quality of relating was unique. What I heard was earnest listening, an effort to understand more than to be understood. What I felt was gratitude, humility, and love. All those things that we want so much more of in our lives. Situations like this don't just happen. They come with intention and attention. They come when we declare that the work of the church is not set apart from the work of the soul. One of the best examples of this convergence of the work of the soul and the work of the church is found in a brand new venture that we're starting this fall. It's small group ministries, and it's a program called Covenant Groups. At first glance, people seem to see this as similar to circle dinners or support groups or adult religious education. This is a persistent misconception with covenant groups. It's that it's simply or wholly soul work, but not church work. But I want to tell you that covenant work is church work. In fact, covenant groups are the central work of the church. Covenant groups are about serving. Covenant groups are about ministering to one another in order to encourage spiritual growth and ever-deepening experiences of the holy or wholeness. A covenant group is a set group of about 8 to 10 people who meet 2 hours twice a month. The form of the meeting has already been developed and it's currently being used by thousands of UUs around the country. A congregant trained to be a facilitator will preside as each member of the group ministers to, cares for, and serves the spiritual needs of every other member in that group. This is both soul work and church work at the same time. When I invite you to think about the work of the church as ministry, I am inviting you to share the ministry of this church with me. In this work, there is nothing more important than the relationships I have with you. When I invite you to share the ministry of this church with me, I am asking you to be the one who lives with a full moon in each eye that is always saying yes. Yes, you are loved, even in a finance committee meeting. May it be so.